Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is a true crime podcast, as the title suggests. So please consider this your warning that it's not suitable for children, and it probably will contain content that may be triggering to some people. Also, it's an Australian true crime podcast, so Australian Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander listeners should be aware it may contain the voices of deceased people.
The producers of this podcast recognise the traditional owners of the land on which it's recorded. They pay respect to the Aboriginal elders past, present and those emerging.
When Bryce and Alec from the excellent Equity Mates podcast told me they had a true crime slash finance crossover story they wanted to talk about, I did not expect it to bring back such happy memories for me. Equity Mates is an investing podcast aimed at millennials. But to my great delight, they wanted to talk about a story from the 1980s. It all happened before they were even born, but right in the middle of my formative teenage years and on our one and only family TV set. It's the story of one of Australia's infamous flamboyant 80s high flyers, the one and only Christopher Skase. It's fascinating to see the story through the eyes of a younger generation, but also through the eyes of people who, frankly, understand the intricacies of it better than I ever have. This week's Australian True Crime is a look back at a tumultuous era that in many ways, for better or for worse, shaped the country we live in today. Welcome to the Equity Mates.
Yeah, I mean, the 1980s were the great is good period of our history, and there was a lot of deregulation. We had Thatcher in the UK, we had Reagan in the US, and, you know, where those two countries lead, Australia often follows.
So if we look at one private enterprise in particular, the Quintex Group, that was Christopher Skase's company.
Yeah, and Quintex, they started with a retail business, Hardy Brothers Jewelers, but then they expanded into a whole bunch of different businesses. They bought car dealerships, they bought real estate development companies, and they even bought some regional TV networks. And that was the sort of the start of it all.
It should be said, though, he didn't have a whole lot of experience in this, though. He was just an ex-stockbroker, right? And a journalist.
And a financial journalist.
And a financial journalist.
And really, I guess, from those early beginnings of Quintex, we move into the mid-1980s, and it becomes a dominant force in the Australian business landscape. Skase's name gets put up there with, you know, the Alan Bonds of the world. And really, 1987 is the big year because they buy one of the three TV stations. They buy Channel 7 for $780 million.
What a steal.
How did that happen? Did he have some, or did they have some big wins along the way, like with the jewelers or the car yards or anything?
All of the above, I think, did okay, but how it happened was debt. And that's the story of the 1980s, and that's how all of these, I want to say entrepreneurs, but they weren't really entrepreneurs, these corporate raiders, whatever you want to call them, built such big empires so quickly. It was the availability of debt meant they could borrow more and acquire more things at a faster rate than we'd ever seen before and that we've ever seen since. So Channel 7 was probably the big purchase, but it wasn't the only big thing that they became known for. He had a massive financial interest in the Brisbane Bears AFL club. And I think probably most notably his legacy lives on today as really putting Port Douglas on the map as a tourist destination.
He did too. He was a property developer.
Yeah, he owned a number of resorts, this big five-star resort in Port Douglas. He also owned a resort in Hawaii.
Five resorts or something.
Yeah. So, yeah,
big it was money big, in resorts.
Yeah.
He built the Sheraton Mirage in Port Douglas.
And let's not forget his beautiful wife, Pixie. Pixie Skase was very much part of the whole show, and she was a very flamboyant billionaire's wife. So they used to appear on Channel 7 a lot, on the variety shows and things of that nature. They really used it to their own advantage that way. You know, they weren't quiet. Like the Packers didn't used to pop up on Channel 9. They were sort of a bit above that, but not the Skases.
Profile building.
Yeah.
Well, this could have been the peak. The extravagance of the Sheraton Mirage and everything that had come before it, because I think it wasn't soon after this that it all started to fall in a big heap.
Yeah, it was quite a short reign, wasn't it?
Yes, very short. What, less than 10 years he had?
Well, he bought Channel 7 in 1987 and everything started to collapse in 1989. So not long at all. So the first visible crack was also his biggest move, which was he obviously had gone out of Australia with the resort in Hawaii. So this wasn't his first move out of Australia, but he tried to buy MGM Film Studios, the giant film studio in Los Angeles, which Amazon has recently bought for a stupid amount of money. Christopher Skase tried to buy it, but it was the late 80s and the go-go years of the 1980s had really slowed down. The 1987 crash saw, you know, I think everyone sort of realized there was a lot going on. We need to chill out.
Yeah, we had a massive stock market crash in 1987, right?
So, yeah, and by 1989, interest rates were starting to rise as well. And so all of these companies that have so much debt and were fueling all their acquisitions and growth by debt all of a sudden had rising interest rates and couldn't afford that debt. And so things were getting really tough. The MGM deal was announced and then the funding, the banks that were going to fund it over in the States pulled out because of the amount of debt Quintex already had. And so for everyone, that was a bit of a warning sign that things aren't great. But it was their biggest acquisition to date, so that was probably forgivable. But then one of their American subsidiaries went bankrupt. So a company that Quintex owned over in America couldn't pay its debts and went bankrupt, which was a bit of a warning as well. And then the thing that really pushed Quintex over the edge, remember a lot of its assets were tourism resorts in places like Hawaii and Port Douglas. In 1989, Australia saw one of its biggest ever industrial actions, one of its biggest ever strikes, the 1989 Australian pilot strike crippled the tourism industry for months, and that crippled the amount of traffic going to his resorts.
Which crippled the resort's revenue.
Well, yes, yes.
So 1989 was a year of rising interest rates, reduced revenues on his business. He was in a lot of financial trouble, really.
And Scacey then has a falling out with his board. He asked the board to approve a payment to a company that he owned, which is...
No-no.
A no-no to begin with. The board refused, but it came out that he had already made that payment without their approval. So, yeah, not good. So one of the directors reported Christopher Scase to the Australian Securities Commission, so the Australian government regulators. But that really, between the company going bankrupt in America and these complaints from the board to the Australian Securities Commission, the Australian Securities Commission then puts their focus on Quintex and starts asking for documents to prove that they're financially healthy.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So what happened was they couldn't provide any documents, as Ren said. Quintex then had $700 million in debt. Scase himself personally had $80 million in debt. So they're all debted up to their eyeballs, really struggling to pay it off. As a result, Quintex stock was listed on the stock exchange. It was suspended from trading, I guess, while the Australian Securities Commission looked into things and said, there's a lot going on here, we need to figure it out. Subsequently, Quintex files for bankruptcy in 1989, and Scase, not too soon after, under a lot of financial pressure, can't pay his debts back, files for bankruptcy in 1991.
So the resorts that he owned get sold to Japanese investors. Channel 7 gets sold, and, you know, these liquidators are selling these assets and trying to get the money back to pay back the debts. Unfortunately, they don't get nearly enough money to pay back the debts. The State Bank of Victoria was one of the largest lenders to Quintex. It collapses largely because it had lent so much money to Quintex, it couldn't recover any money. And then it itself, this bank, State Bank of Victoria, goes bankrupt. And that's sort of the end of the corporate bankruptcy story. But that's not the end of the story here.
Well, it turns out that Scase had been secretly moving company money into foreign bank accounts. Dun-dun.
Yes.
So he'd secretly done some transfers to estimated to be $170 million from when Quintex filed bankruptcy in 1989 and Skase files bankruptcy in 1991. So between that period, he was shuffling money from Quintex into his, I guess, private bank account, so somewhere overseas, and it emerges that he'd approved hefty management fees to be paid from Quintex to him personally. So
how much again? Tell me how much again?
$170 million. Obviously, what he's done is illegal under Australian law. And so what happened was this is where the Australian police move in and actually make an arrest. So he was charged with improperly using his position to obtain management fees, briefly arrested and spent a night in jail.
A night.
But you would think they would be more than that. He was subsequently released and allowed to regain his passport. However, he was told to stay in the area. Does he stay in the area? No. Next morning, he's on a flight to Spain. So he fled the country on a flight to Spain, and then the chase was on. He was discovered in 1991 by the Sydney Morning Herald in Mallorca.
Yes.
Yes.
Not the cops. Not another government,
no.
The Sydney Morning Herald. He claimed he was penniless but living in a $2 million mansion on the island, living large.
The outrage of the nation. I'll never get over it. And did he come out immediately and say, oh, I'm sick,
yeah,
though?
Yeah, so he very quickly started claiming he was sick. In 1994, the Australian government felt like they had enough evidence to get him. They brought 60 criminal charges against him and they spent multiple years trying to extradite him. So Spain and Australia do have an extradition treaty, and this is where the claims of being sick really started to escalate and I guess be quite strategic for him. When he was rocking up to court, he was rocking up in a wheelchair claiming he had emphysema and a whole bunch of other health issues, and he was arrested. Now, here's the thing. So there's an extradition treaty with Australia and Spain. Spanish authorities detain him, and he was actually held for 11 months in Mallorca in a jail, but mainly in the hospital jail, like claiming he was sick. So 11 months he was held. He claimed he was too sick to travel.
So then the decade-long chase continued, the chase for Skase, including Andrew Denton trying to raise money for a bounty hunter. And then in May 1998, the Aussie government cancelled Skase's passport, at which point he was ordered to leave Mallorca by the 23rd of July, but he lodged an appeal. The extradition process was still tied up in the courts, and then following, he became a citizen of the Dominican Republic.
Dominica, a small caravan nation.
Tiny caravan nation.
Yeah. A lot of commentary at the time saying that the chase for Skase was over and that there was nothing more that could be done to bring him back to Australia. And whether or not that was true, in the end, it didn't really matter, because in August 2001, he actually was sick and he died of stomach cancer.
In Mallorca. Yeah.
The great irony of this all is Australia is pretty soft on white-collar crimes.
Yes.
And at this stage, you know, when he was first detained in Australia before he fled, it was for the illegal management fees. It wasn't for, you know, embezzling all this money from his company into his offshore accounts.
Got away with the $170 million.
Australia is incredibly light on these crimes, and estimates are he probably would have got months in jail, if anything. But instead he fled and he let it chase him for the rest of his life.
Thank you to our guests today, Bryce and Alec from Equity Mates Investing Podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts.
If you need support after listening to this podcast, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or contact 1-800-RESPECT on 1-800-737-732 or 1-800-RESPECT.org.au. Indigenous Australians can contact 13 Yarn on 13 92 76 or 13yarn.org.au. Thank you for downloading this episode of Australian True Crime. We'll be back next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Australian True Crime, the nation's leading independent true crime podcast, is hitting the road with our live show. We're coming to Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane this July, and tickets will be available starting May 10th at 9:30 a.m. sharp. They sold out in 2 hours last time, so do not dilly-dally. We know the suburbs of Australia are teeming with some of the most intriguing and chilling true crime stories the world has ever heard. Don't miss the chance to dive deeper and get involved with a live Q&A. With over 1.5 million downloads monthly, these tickets will sell out. So keep an eye on our social media pages and check the podcast bio for direct links to purchase yours as soon as they're released on Friday, May 10. I can't wait to see you there.